In the Gospel reading today, we hear the angel Gabriel coming to our Blessed Lady, and as he greets her, we are told that Our Lady was troubled by the greeting and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Well, that tells us right there that there is something different about the greeting itself. And that's the point that we have to consider as we celebrate today the apparition of Our Blessed Lady at Lourdes, where she pronounced herself to be the Immaculate Conception. It is precisely in that greeting that we're able to see that. Again, we've talked about this before, but you have to recognize that when we pray the Hail Mary, we put Our Lady's name in there, which would be a normal greeting. It's not there. Go back and look at St. Luke's Gospel. Her name is not there. We put it in, but it isn't. The angel didn't. Perhaps that's part of why she was wondering what kind of greeting this might be. Beyond that, the words that are used in Greek are very important, because when the angel speaks to Our Lady, he uses a single word, kakaritomene. Any other time when we hear about a fullness of grace, St. Paul, for instance, on a couple of occasions uses the term full of grace. He uses three words, not one. So it's a different word, it's a different concept. It is different from what we can talk about with regard to our own selves and any sense of a fullness of grace. Because with Our Blessed Lady, what it tells us is that there is nothing lacking in the grace which is given to her, meaning that there is no sin that has ever inhibited the ability of grace to work. And so indeed it was a very unusual kind of greeting. But the greeting, rather than addressing her name, addressed instead the very essence of who she was, which again puts it into a different context. Because if we think about ourselves, I mean, somebody could say, for instance, of St. Joseph, well, he's the carpenter. Well, that's not the essence of who he is, that's just what he does. With this, it actually addresses the very essence of Our Blessed Lady, who she is, not by name, but in the very depth of her soul. And so once again, a very different greeting. And it is precisely this freedom from original sin, the Immaculate Conception, that allows what we hear in the book of Genesis to be brought to completion, that the woman will crush the head of the serpent. It is in her Immaculate Conception that Satan, not for one split second, had any kind of authority over Our Blessed Lady. None. From the first moment of her conception, she has crushed him. We can assume that he threw everything at her that he possibly could. Never once did she give in to any of his ideas or temptations. So she was without sin from the first instant of her creation. She remained without sin through the entirety of her life. And in so doing, she has crushed Satan. Now we recognize that that happened on a spiritual level. Just as we could say of our own selves, we were baptized into the death and resurrection of our Lord. We have already died. Well, obviously, we all still have to die. So Satan's head has already been crushed, but only on that spiritual way, just like we've died spiritually. We're still waiting for the day when we're going to see that ultimate victory of Our Blessed Lady, destroying the enemy of our souls. But just as we can say with our baptism, what has already happened spiritually is now going to happen for us physically at some point, And then, once again, as we have already entered into the resurrection of our Lord in baptism, we too are going to rise from the dead one day. So the spiritual reality still has to be fulfilled. That's what we're going to see. So she is already victorious. It's already a done deal. There is no possible way that she could lose, that anything else could happen. It's already there. Now we're just waiting for it to be fulfilled. So that's what we're looking at. And in this, not only should we all have that miraculous medal, which Our Lady gave to us, but also remember what she told us, that those rays that are coming from her hands, those are the graces that people have rejected, which means that they're there for the rest of us if we are willing to ask for them and open our hearts to them. So here we have the one who is without sin, who is the mediatrix of all graces, and so every single grace that God gives to the world, he gives through Our Lady. That being the case, we have all of those graces that no one is receiving or the people haven't received. We can. The graces are still there. And so again, remember, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Well, that means there is an abundance of grace that's available to us. So we just simply have to open our hearts to be able to receive that grace and make that choice to cooperate with the grace, to be able to learn from our Blessed Lady. Again, it's not quite a fair comparison because she didn't have original sin. She didn't have any of the weaknesses that come with it. But we can learn from her to be able to reject everything of Satan. We can learn from her to say no to the temptations. We can be part with her in crushing the head of this vile creature in our own lives and as well as in general. So that's the privilege that we're given. It is a singular privilege given to our Blessed Lady. She's a mom, so she's not going to take it all for herself. She's going to say, I want my kids to be part of this. She's giving us that opportunity in the mercy of God that we can participate with her in the grace that is given, in the crushing of Satan's ugly head. Just tell him no. Tell him to get lost. Tell him you're not going to play his game. Tell him you're not going to give in to his temptation. Every time you do that, you're putting your heel a little bit more on his ugly head. That's what we need. The victory is already there. Now it's just for us to participate in it.